Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today, we're in Colossians chapter 1. We'll be studying verses 21 through 23. So if you're able to read your Bibles and follow along with me, turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 21 through 23. Let me read. The scripture says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, we have already looked at the person of Christ. We've looked at his relationship with the Father. We've looked at his relationship with the church and with creation. And as we enter these next few verses, we're going to be looking at the person of Christ. I like what David Jeremiah wrote concerning these verses. He said, "Having set forth the person of Christ, now Paul moves to the subject of his work and ministry." Here's a detail worth noting. In verses 15 through 20, Paul didn't use the second person pronoun you even once. But in verses 21 through 23, he used it five times to explain how the preeminence of Christ intersects the past, present, and future of our lives. Paul made all of this about me and you. So as we read these verses again, let's look for that pronoun. Beginning in verse 21 again, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye," or you, "continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye," or you, "have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So these verses obviously are applicable to you and me and whoever is listening today. So we're going to look beginning in verse number 21, and we're going to consider the work of Christ in our past. The work of Christ in our past. Now, this is addressed to Christians who are part of the church there in Colossae. And one of the things that I can say without reservations, regardless of who you are, speaking to myself as well, whoever you are, me included, our greatest need, everyone's greatest need, is to be reconciled to God. And that's what the apostle's talking about here in verse 21, as he looks at the past of those believers who have been reconciled to God. He says, "And you that were sometime alienated," and not only alienated, but enemies in your mind by wicked works, "yet now hath he reconciled." We're reminded, even as Christians, that we're not who we used to be, that our sin results in alienation and separation from God. I've been doing a little bit of reading in the book of Genesis, and when you go back to the beginning, when sin entered into the world, and God told Adam, "If you eat of this tree, if you disobey me, that day you will die." And certainly he did. He died spiritually. So each and every one of us is dead spiritually and in need of reconciliation with God. I'm turning now to the book of Ephesians, and I want to look at verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. This is a description of what we were as Christians before we were saved. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're reminded as Christians that before we came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we had no hope. We did not have God. But now, with Jesus Christ living in our hearts and in our lives, we who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ because of his shedding of his blood on the cross, paying the price for our sins. We are reconciled to God. There's a story that's told of a man back during World War II, and I want to share it with you. During World War II, Hiro Onoda was a lieutenant in the Japanese Army. In 1944, he was sent to the island of Lubang off the coast of the Philippines in order to hamper enemy attacks on the island. Under no circumstances was he to surrender. Unfortunately, nobody told him when the war ended. Eating rice, coconuts, and meat from stolen cattle, Hiro Onoda hid in the jungle for 29 years, carrying out occasional guerrilla activities and awaiting further instructions. He avoided search parties sent to find him, believing they were enemy scouts. He didn't trust leaflets announcing the end of the war, assuming them to be propaganda. Newspapers, letters, and family pictures dropped from the air were taken to be a trick. Friends and relatives even spoke out over loudspeakers, but Onoda remained suspicious. He didn't believe that the war had really ended. Eventually, his former commanding officer was located. Working as a bookseller in southern Japan, he flew to Lubang Island to officially read the terms of the ceasefire to Onoda and relieve him of duty. On March 9, 1974, nearly 30 years after the war had ended, Onoda finally surrendered. Onoda was 22 years old when left on the island. He returned a prematurely aged man of 52, and this is what he had to say. Nothing pleasant happened in the 29 years in the jungle. I like what one preacher said. He said, how sad it is to be free and not know it. How much sadder it is to be free and to know it and to live like you don't know it. Listen, folks, we ought to be like the songwriter, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sin separates us from God. Our greatest need is to be reconciled with God. Sin also destroys our earthly relationships. You see, when a person gets saved, he experiences peace with God. That's the beginning. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord and with others, we begin to experience not just the peace with God that we already have as Christians, but to experience the peace of God. D.L. Moody put it pretty plainly. He said, if a man doesn't treat his wife right, I don't want to hear him talk about Christianity. See, it's not enough just to have peace with God. God wants us to experience the peace of God. I'm turning now in the Bible to Romans chapter number 12. In Romans chapter number 12, I want to look at verses 17 through 21. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 17. The scripture says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our past, our present is different. It's much different. Now we're back in Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 21 talks about the work of Jesus in our past. We're now ready for verse 22, which talks about the work of Jesus in our future. Apostle Paul writes the believers at Colossae, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He's talking about the future here, that in the future, God wants to present us to himself holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. The purpose of salvation is not simply to give us a home in heaven, though it does do that. The purpose of our creation is that God might purify us and present us unto himself. This is Jesus' work in our future, and it's the goal for every Christian to experience restoration. Right now, Jesus is preparing us for a great presentation. He talks about this in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5, beginning of verse 25, where he wrote, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, Paul writes, but he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about believers. The work of Jesus in our future. The goal of every Christian is restoration. Jesus is right now preparing us for this great presentation. So what is my goal as a Christian? Well, it's quite simple. My goal as a Christian is to be like Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're to be conformed, the Bible says, to the image of his Son. And I love this verse found in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm turning there in my Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He's talking to Christians here. He said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That day's coming. God's going to present us to himself, and we're going to be like Jesus. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Our goal is to be like Jesus. That's what we're to do right now, because there's coming a day. There's coming a day when God will present us to himself. God conforms us by the Spirit of God using the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize the importance of the Word of God. It's the word that the Holy Spirit takes and it finds lodging in our hearts and in our minds. It's by the word of God that the Holy Spirit brings us conviction and conforms us to be more like Jesus. Learning and applying scripture must be a priority for growth in our lives. The scripture tells us in Romans in chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My friend, today, make the habitual habit of reading and meditating and memorizing the Word of God a priority in your life, because it's by the Word of God that the Spirit of God prepares us and helps us to be like Jesus. Well, let's look at this last verse in our text in Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at verse 23. If or since ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Sometimes we look at that word if and in the Bible and we tend to interpret it the way we use the word today. But in the scripture, in so many places, it has the idea of since. Since you are continuing in the faith, he's not talking about retaining our salvation, because we can't lose our salvation, but rather he's talking about because we possess salvation. We are not saved by continuing in the faith. He's not presenting something here that we are to lose, but we continue in the faith because we are saved. Jesus is in the process of remaking us today, making us what he wants us to be, more like him. The moment of salvation, our position in Christ is sure. It's established that at the point that you have trusted Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did on the cross, and you've received him into your life, made him your Lord and Savior, from that moment on, your position is safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. From that moment, God begins to remake us so that our condition, our lives, matches our position. It's not good enough just to have the name. We need to live the life that brings honor and glory to him. David Jeremiah put it this way: we are in a remaking process in terms of our character, beliefs, priorities, values. Everything is being remade by Christ working through the Spirit in us. What he's trying to say there is that this aspect of sanctification, not talking about practical sanctification, is a process. Learning the Word of God, attending church, being obedient, and being a witness, and all of these things that we do as Christians is all part of the process that God uses in remaking us into what he wants us to be. As we said before, our position takes place at the moment of salvation. I'm saved. On my way to heaven, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. Jesus paid on the cross the price that bought my salvation. And when I've accepted him, I'm saved eternally. I can't lose that. I can't give that away. That's not something that's even up for discussion, really. But my life and where I live and how I live for Christ, it reminds me of the lady that said, you know, if you don't do something for Jesus, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. And so God wants us to serve him and to grow and to take ownership in this process of living out Christ in our lives. Christianity is about recognizing and submitting to Christ in all things. As you look in this verse 23, he says, if or since you continue in the faith, he used the word grounded. He's talking about the foundation that we build our life on. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to build our lives not on sand, but on that solid foundation of Christ himself. And he says, okay, you start with the faith grounded in Christ and settled, that this is my purpose in life, to build it upon the Lord, to be sensitive to his leading in my life, making him not just my Savior, but making him my Lord. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There's that word hope that sometimes we misinterpret, because we use the term today as a I hope so situation, but Paul's not talking about I hope so situation. He's talking about in the Bible, it's used as I know so situation. From the hope of the gospel, the gospel's the good news, that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he did all of that we might be saved. He said, the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I don't know how you came to Christ today. I'm hoping I'm talking to some believers, and I hope I'm talking to some who are considering becoming a believer. But at some point in time, somebody had to share the gospel with you. It may have come through the form of a tract. It may come through the form of reading scripture in a book, or it may have come actually from reading the Bible. It may have come from attending a church, maybe going to a Sunday school class. Maybe a friend talked to you about the Lord and shared with you the scripture. Maybe it was a stranger that came to your door and just showed an interest in sharing the good news with you. But whatever it was, at some point in time, if you are a believer, you had to come face to face with the Word of God. And Paul said, since that happened to you, believer, remember, that's your foundation. Be settled in that truth, that hope, that I know so, that I'm with Christ. Kent Hughes said this, the positive application of Paul's words is this, the gospel does not work like magic. The mind, the heart, and the will must be involved. Our minds must feed on Christ and His Word. Our hearts are to focus on Him in love. Our wills are to take their practice and pattern from Him. Present faith leads to present results. We must fill our lives every day from Him. This was Paul's concern for the believers at Colossae. They were facing the Gnostics, who claimed to have knowledge beyond Christ. Well, obviously that's not true. There were the legalists who came in and said, well, you got to do this and you got to do that to be saved. That certainly wasn't true. There were the aesthetics and those that said, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. And on and on and on, all these false doctrines were trying to make their way into their church. And Jesus is reminding them as well as us, my foundation as a Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm settled on Him. It's a hope that's an I know so hope. And not only am I sure, not only am I convinced, but even as the Apostle Paul was called to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are to build our lives in such a way that we too are ministers to others. This gospel is not just for us. It's for everybody that we come in contact with that we have an opportunity to share. So I leave you with that thought today. Consider God's purpose in your life, how the Lord Jesus Christ has done a work in our past. He's doing a work for our future, but He's also working in our lives in the present. May God bless you.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.